I don't really want to be doing this. But you're all here. So come on into my workshop, make yourself at home, sit down. If you need to, squeeze together so you can actually fit. You know, I do have better tools. Some of you should know because you're borrowing them and have not returned them. Like I said, I don't really want to be doing this. But you're here, so I think it's finally time to have a talk. Look, I don't mind if you choose to exclude me or share rumors about me. Or I don't mind even if you charge me more for my carpentry work. I do mind if you exclude my wife and my children. You all know who I am. Joseph, son of Jacob. I grew up here in Nazareth. I spent most of my life here in Nazareth. And yeah, by the way, they are all my children. You know, I am not a trusting man. I'm just not. I have learned something in my life. People will always fail you. People will always let you down. But God? Let me ask you a question. What would you do for God? Huh? What would you do? Would you change jobs for him? Marry an ugly person? Face alienation from your family? Be hated by your community? We know lots of things about God. But what would you actually do for him? How far would you go? And how far would be too far? I might as well start at the beginning of the story. About 8 years ago, here in Nazareth, I lived in my father Jacob's home, and I was betrothed to be married to Mary, daughter of Heli. And the marriage had been arranged, and as we grew closer and closer to the end of the betrothal period and ready to get married, I was excited. Mary was... She was as beautiful on the outside as she was on the inside. Whenever she came around here to my workshop, I got so excited. She just made my heart want to. One day I was here working, and she came in. And she was different. I didn't understand what she was feeling. She was excited. But at the same time, maybe a little scared. I didn't know what was happening. But then she came in and she said, "Joseph, I have news. My cousin Elizabeth is with child. She's pregnant. I want to go to the hill country for a few months and visit her." And I said to her, "Elizabeth? As in Zechariah and Elizabeth, that elderly couple that we met last month? She's the one that's pregnant?" And she smiled. She said, "It's a miracle." Now, the betrothal period was coming to a close. Even though we had not yet consummated our marriage and we lived in separate homes, we were legally and essentially married. And I didn't want her to go. But how could I say no? So I said, "You must go then. You must go and visit her." She was gone for about 4 months. I remember one night I was working in my shop here. And 4 months had gone by. I was taking some jousts to one of Heli's neighbors. Something to help with some of the roof trouble that they were having. And it was getting late at night, and I'm walking through the streets. And as I'm passing Heli's house, I start hearing an argument coming from the house. A heated argument, raised voices. People are yelling at each other. And then I hear my name several times being thrown around. And so because I was already part of the conversation, I didn't bother knocking at the front door, and I walked right in. There in the room were Mary's mother and father. And Mary was visibly pregnant. I had no relations with her. She tried to explain to me and tell me a story about angels and miracles. I just didn't hear anything. I walked away. I walked out through the night. I left the jousts right in the middle of the street. Normally, I would go home, or I would go to my workshop, and I would come in here and I would work, but I was afraid she would follow me and try and talk to me. So I went to my father's house instead. See what I mean? People will always fail you. Unfortunately, when I got home, my father was still awake. He could tell that I was upset and agitated, but thankfully he didn't say anything. I remember thinking, how could she do this to me? How in the world could she do this to me? How could she cheat on me? It was practically adultery. Then another thought. Who was it? Was it someone up in that hill country she went to? No. That's why she went up there in the first place. It was someone from here in Nazareth. I bet you it was that miserable Hiram. You all know how those merchant kids are. As I paced around the room, finally my father, Jacob, said, "My son, I can tell something's bothering you. What is it?" And I said to him, "I have some news, Father, but I'm not ready to share it yet. Soon, though." And just then, the front door bursts open, and my little kid cousin, Reuben, comes running into the room. He's got a big smile on his face. He's out of breath, and he says, "Joseph, I just came from Mary's house. She's pregnant!" Collapsed on the floor, laid down, so happy with himself, with a big grin on his face that he was the one to share this news with me. The little rat. My father was angry. "What? Joseph, how could you do this? How could you do this to our family? Do you know what this is going to do to our business? I thought you were a little too happy when you were around that girl." And I said, "It's not mine." You all know Jacob's temper. He was furious. "What? How could she? How could she? How could she do this to us? We gave her our best son in marriage. We welcome her into this family as if she was one of us. And this is how she repays us? How dare she?" I tried to calm him down, but there was no comforting him. "Joseph, you and I, we are going to go over to Heli's house. We're taking Mary through the streets to the rabbis at night. We will publicly disgrace her. You will divorce her, and no one will think any less of you or this family. Father, please stop." "No, Joseph. In the old days, they would have stoned her for this. That's enough. I will not have you talk about my betrothed like this. She's hurt me, but I love her. And I can't bring myself to ruin her life anymore. My father grabbed my shoulders. And he says, "What are you going to do, Joseph? What are you going to do? You can't marry her. That would be excusing adultery. You can't excuse adultery because no righteous man would ever excuse adultery, Joseph." I broke out of his hold. He wasn't stronger than me anymore. And I said, "I don't know. I'll go quietly to the rabbis in the morning and divorce her. No one needs to know about this. How can I be a righteous man and ruin her life more than she already has?" But my father said, "Joseph, think about this family. Rumors will go everywhere around Nazareth and beyond. We'll never be able to stop them. Think about this family. You have to do what's right for this family." I said, "No. I am her betrothed. It is my decision and my decision alone. I will not cause her more harm." He tried to argue with me, but I went to bed. I couldn't trust anyone. I couldn't trust Mary. I couldn't trust the community that would start rumors. And couldn't even trust my own family. People will always let you down. I finally fell asleep. And in my dreams, I was walking through a frozen wasteland. It was cold and dark, and I walked forever. And as I walked, I saw in the distance all of a sudden a small little dot, small little bit of light. As I walked closer and closer to it, all of a sudden, these wings grew out from it, and before me stood an angel of the Lord, and his eyes were blazing. He was shining like the sun. He had a sword of fire sheathed at his side, and he said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." How would you respond? How would you respond to such an incredible command? Knowing that the rest of your life would be hardship after hardship, knowing that you would face rumor after rumor, how would you respond? You can't. People will let you down. People will always hurt you. But God? No. Never. I chose to trust God. I chose to obey him, no matter the cost. The next morning, I married Mary. Although we did not consummate our marriage until after the child was born. So that was the story. It's unbelievable, isn't it? A virgin giving birth to the Messiah, the one who would come to take away the sins of the whole world, not the least of which is malicious gossip, by the way. True to the angel's command, I married her. And it really is rather unbelievable, isn't it? But remember what the prophet Isaiah said. Do you remember what he wrote in his book? His prophecy about the coming Messiah? He said, behold, the virgin will give birth. She will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And following the angel's command, when it was time to name the child, I named him Jesus, because he indeed would save his people from their sins. Yours and mine. All of ours. How will you respond to this miraculous news? How will you respond to the miraculous news about Jesus? I think you should respond to this news by trusting Jesus, by trusting God. I think you should respond to this news by obeying God and believing that this Jesus will take away your sins. That brings us right back to the beginning, doesn't it? What would you do for God? What would you do? Huh? Would you change your jobs for him? Would you marry an ugly person? Would you face alienation from your own family? The hatred of your community? We know lots of things about God, but what would you actually do for him? How far would you go, and how far would be too far? Would you sign up for humiliation? Public humiliation? What's the worst thing that can happen to you in this life? What's the absolute worst thing that can happen to you in this life? No. It's not what's happening to me and my family. It's true, the rumors hurt and it's difficult, but Mary and I have a good family. We have a good relationship. And even though 8-year-old little Jesus is exhausting, don't get me wrong, he's good, but he is tiring. Along with all the other kids, we still love him. And we love him like the rest of our children. No, but as I've learned, I'm convinced that if you have a good marriage, you can face just about anything as long as you're willing to fight together as one. No, I don't think the rumors that we're facing is the absolute worst thing that's happening to, that could happen to you in this life. I think the absolute worst thing that could happen to you in this life is that the Romans get a hold of you, charge you with treason, and publicly crucify you. That is the worst way to die. It is not only the absolute most painful way to die and utterly excruciating. Worse than that is the public humiliation, the public shame. You're not only shamed for days, but your entire family's name is shamed. And it's not even just your family's name that's shamed. It's your family's name for generation that is shamed. That's the worst way to go. You know what I'm working on? The substandard tools. This is what I'm working on in my workshop. I'm putting together a Roman cross. I'm putting this together here in my shop to remind me that this is the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to another individual. And I'm putting it up here to remind myself that in the midst of the pain that we're experiencing, that if God called me for whatever reason to die on a Roman cross, even if I didn't understand why or the purpose of it behind, I would know it would be worth it. Even if I could never answer the question why. And so I'm going to hang it up here as a reminder. And the same is true with my son Jesus. I don't know how it all works. I don't know the mechanics of how he exactly is going to save us all from our sins, you and me. But God said it. And unlike you and me, he's trustworthy. And unlike you and me, he can be trusted. And if he said it, we can believe it. How should you respond to this miraculous news about Jesus? You should respond by obeying God. It's like my wife Mary says, trust and obey. God will never lead you astray.